Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to sift through a whole stack of sources and pull out the real gems of knowledge for you. Today, we're taking a deep dive, a really aromatic one, into tea brewing. The art, the science, all of it. You know, our sources show tea isn't just, well, a drink. It's this global thing, a ritual, culture, centuries of perfecting this amazing sensory journey. So our mission today, to give you the tools, the insights to brew that perfect cup.
Yeah.
Every single time, to really elevate your whole tea experience.
Exactly. And it's fascinating, isn't it, how these seemingly simple things can unlock so much complexity in the cup. We're going to break down those fundamentals, the techniques, make all those little nuances really accessible so you can turn that daily cup into something, well, truly special.
Okay, let's get into it, because I think a lot of us feel like we know the basics, right? But what our sources are showing is that even those fundamentals have hidden depth. So before we even talk methods, what are the absolute must-knows, the things we might need to, you know, rethink?
Right. Well, the absolute bedrock, no question, is water quality. Now, most people get the fresh filtered water part, but the real insight here, I think, is how its mineral content can actually react with the tea itself. Things like chlorine or really hard water. It's not just adding an off taste. It can actively mute the good stuff or even create bitterness. So it's not just about pure water. It's about neutral water, letting the tea speak for itself.
Neutral water. Okay, I like that framing.
Then you've got water temperature. And wow, this is critical. It's not just about getting it hot. It's about what you're pulling out of the leaves at different temperatures. Yeah. The science is pretty neat, actually. Hotter water pulls out more tannins, more catechins, gives you that robustness, sometimes bitterness that works for black teas.
Right.
That's why for black teas, herbal teas too, you want it really hot, you know, 200 to 212 Fahrenheit. That's 90 to 100 Celsius. Boiling or just off it, that.
Yeah.
For your delicate greens or whites, that same heat would just scorch them. You want lower temps, maybe 160 to 180 Fahrenheit, so 70, 80 Celsius. That protects the delicate amino acids, the things that give you that sweetness, that umami, and it avoids pulling out the harsh stuff. Oolongs being kind of in the middle oxidation-wise, they like it somewhere in between, say, 180 to 200 Fahrenheit, 80, 90 Celsius. It balances things out.
That's a huge insight right there, understanding the why. It's not just random numbers. It's about targeting specific compounds.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for anyone really wanting to up their game, that kettle with temperature control, it suddenly seems less like a gadget and more like an essential tool, doesn't it? Takes out the guesswork.
Absolutely. Precision is key there. And then the tea to water ratio, that classic 1 teaspoon per 8 ounces. It's a good starting point, definitely. But our sources really emphasize adjusting it. Think about the tea itself. Is it dense little pellets or big fluffy leaves?
Right. A teaspoon of fluffy white tea takes up way more space.
Exactly. So you might need more volume of that white tea compared to, say, a rolled oolong or a dense black tea, just to get the same flavor intensity. It really controls how strong or subtle the final brew is.
Makes sense.
And finally, steeping time. Also crucial, and maybe where personal taste matters most, generally 1 to 5 minutes. The trick is finding that sweet spot for that specific tea and for your palate. Too long, especially with greens or whites, you get that bitterness from over-extracting tannins.
Right, the astringency.
Yeah. Too short, you just get weak tea, you're leaving all the good stuff behind in the leaves. It's a balancing act, patience and paying attention.
So maybe take a moment. Think about how you usually brew your tea. How could tweaking just one of these things, the water, the exact temp, the amount of tea, how long you let it sit, how could that change your very next cup? It really sounds like getting these details right is the secret sauce. Moving from just good tea to wow tea. Okay, so we've got these fundamentals dialed in now. Water, temp, ratio, time. Now, how do we actually make the tea? Let's get into the different methods, because this is where it gets really interesting, right? From easy to elaborate.
Indeed. Let's start with the classic, the loose leaf method. Most tea lovers know this. Leaves in an infuser, maybe a teapot, pour the hot water, steep, remove the leaves. Simple enough. But the real beauty, what the sources highlight, is the control it gives you.
Right.
You dial in that ratio, that steeping time, perfectly. And importantly, the leaves have room to expand to fully unfurl and release everything they've got.
Space to bloom.
Exactly. It's really the best way to experience the full complexity of, say, high-quality single-origin teas or special blends.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But what about, you know, real life?
busy mornings.
Yeah, that brings us to the tea bag method. Super convenient, right? Everyone uses them. And while they sometimes get a bad rap, things have changed. Our sources point out that many good brands now use pyramid bags or larger sachets.
Oh yeah, I've seen those.
They actually give the tea leaves, even if they're broken grades sometimes, more room to move and infuse compared to those old flat paper bags.
Better infusion.
Definitely better. So you can get a surprisingly decent cup. Quick, easy, minimal mess. It has its place for sure.
Okay. And then there's one more you mentioned. Cold brew. That sounds different for tea.
It is. The cold brew method is fantastic, especially when it's warmer out, or if you find some teas a bit too bitter when brewed hot. You basically just put your tea leaves in cold water, maybe use a bit more tea than you would for hot brew, stick it in the fridge for several hours or even overnight, then strain it.
No heat at all.
Nope. No heat. And what's really interesting is how it extracts the compounds differently.
Yeah.
You get this incredibly smooth, mellow flavor, way less bitterness, way less astringency. Because there's no heat, it tends to preserve some of the more delicate, volatile aromas and flavors that hot water can sometimes drive off. It's really refreshing, great over ice or just straight.
Wow. Okay. So from total control with loose leaf to quick convenience with bags to this smooth, mellow, cold brew, that really covers a lot of ground. It feels like there's a perfect method depending on the tea, your mood, how much time you have. Maybe try one you haven't before. See what happens with your favorite tea.
So we've covered the foundations. We've looked at different ways to brew. What about taking it further for someone who really wants to, you know, dive deep into the world of tea appreciation?
Ah, yes. For those looking to really immerse themselves, there are more advanced techniques, often rooted in tradition, like Gongfu Cha.
Gongfu Cha, okay.
Chinese, right?
Yes, traditional Chinese tea preparation. It's less about just making tea and more like a ritual, a performance almost. You use a small teapot, or often a gaiwan that's a lidded bowl, and you do multiple very short infusions of the same leaves. We're talking seconds, not minutes sometimes.
Multiple infusions, short ones.
Exactly. And what's amazing about Gongfu Cha isn't just the precision, it's how you experience the tea evolving. Each short steep pulls out slightly different characteristics. So the first cup might taste quite different from the third or the fifth. You get to witness this unfolding of flavor and aroma. It demands focus, control. It's quite meditative.
Fascinating. Like watching the tea tell its story over several acts.
That's a great way to put it. Then a completely different but equally profound, you have the Japanese tea ceremony, or chanoyu. This is highly formalized, very aesthetic, deeply linked with Zen philosophy. It centers on preparing and serving matcha powdered green tea.
Matcha, right, with the whisk.
Precisely. You need specialized tools. The bamboo whisk, the chasen, is essential to whip the matcha into that smooth, frothy consistency. And the tea bowl, the shoan, is also carefully chosen. It's a very mindful, deliberate process. Every movement has meaning. It's about harmony, respect, purity, tranquility. Much more than just drinking tea.
Wow. So those are quite involved. What about enhancing things day to day without needing a full ceremony?
Oh, absolutely. Lots you can do. Simple things first. Experiment. Add a twist of lemon, maybe some fresh mint leaves, a little honey or agave. See how it complements your tea.
Personalizing it.
Yeah. And investing in good teaware makes a difference. A teapot that pours well and holds heat. An infuser that leaves room but keeps small bits out. Cups that feel good in your hand. It's not just about looks, though that's nice too. Good design often means better function, which leads to a better brew and a more pleasant ritual.
Form and function.
And the biggest thing, just keep exploring different teas. The variety is staggering. Delicate white teas, grassy Japanese greens, complex oolongs, robust blacks, caffeine-free herbal infusions. There's always something new to discover.
That constant exploration sounds key. And speaking of exploring specific types, our sources spent some time on teas from Ceylon, right? Sri Lanka?
They did, yeah. And Ceylon teas are a great example of regional diversity. Sri Lanka offers some really distinct styles. Their black teas are probably the most famous. They can be incredibly varied depending on the elevation where they're grown. You get bright, brisk, almost citrusy notes from high-grown teas.
Okay.
And richer, maltier, more full-bodied teas from lower elevations. They're known for that real boldness and bright aroma. Great for morning, often take milk well.
Right, like a classic breakfast tea backbone.
Often, yes. But then they also produce excellent green teas. Ceylon greens tend to be a bit more full-bodied, perhaps, than some Chinese greens, maybe pan-fired with lovely vegetal notes, but still quite delicate and refreshing. A clean finish.
Interesting. Less common, maybe?
Less famous than their black teas, perhaps, but definitely worth seeking out. And then the real gems are the white peas, Ceylon silver tips, for instance. Made from just the unopened buds covered in fine silvery down. They're hand-picked, minimally processed.
Sounds delicate.
Extremely. Very subtle, nuanced flavors. Hints of fruit, maybe floral notes. Light, airy, really quite special. Demands careful brewing to appreciate them.
Wow. It really drives home how much variety exists, even within one region. It feels like, armed with the right brewing knowledge, temperature, time, method, you can then approach something like a Ceylon black or white tea and really unlock its intended character, like having a key.
Exactly. Understanding the how lets you appreciate the what so much more.
So we've really journeyed quite far today, haven't we? From the very basics of water and heat.
Absolute fundamentals.
Through different brewing styles, from simple bags to intricate ceremonies.
They bring all the bases.
And even touching on the unique personalities of teas from a place like Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. It's clear that brewing tea well is this ongoing exploration. Really rewarding.
It truly is. And it always circles back to those core elements, doesn't it? Nailing the water. The temperature for that specific tea, getting the ratio right for your taste, timing the steep. Mastering those allows everything else to shine, whether you're using a fancy gaiwan or just a simple mug and infuser. Mm-hmm. It lets the tea be its best self.
Yeah.
So the encouragement is definitely there. Keep playing. Try that cold brew method. Steep your favorite black tea a little shorter or a little longer. See what happens. Explore different types of tea you haven't tried. Pay attention to the aroma, the taste, how it feels. It's such a rich sensory world to dive into.
Absolutely. Well said. So perhaps the thought to leave you with today is this. May every time you brew bring you a little closer to your idea of tea perfection. One mindful sip at a time, tuning each cup into, well, maybe a small moment of calm. A chance for reflection, and just a simple appreciation for all the craft, the history, the culture that's packed into every single tea leaf.